Hey guys, this is just gonna be off the top of my head, and I don't even know if I'm gonna put it up. I'll think about it. But I was sitting outside just now, and it's starting to really storm out there, and I was just thinking about it, you know? Because I'm noticing a trend, and I don't think it's just me. I think a lot of people are coming to the realization that something is very wrong, okay? Something has gone so far off the tracks with what was supposed to be happening in this country, what this country was supposed to stand for, what it claims to stand for, what it has built an entire city around supposedly standing for, the classiness of it that used to be, like the 20th century classiness of government in this country and how that used to portray itself, at least. Maybe it was always corrupt. I mean, there's arguments that it has been for the whole entire time that it's existed. And we could go there, but that's not the point I'm even trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is they're not even trying to pretend to be classy anymore about the stuff that's going on. The stuff that's going on is the level of a Netflix streaming show. Like if aliens were watching America as a TV show, the stuff that is going on now, the level that things are at, that's what that would be like, okay? The idea that this is the reality that we're all just supposed to accept is pretty amazing to me. Like, I get up every day thinking that when I see the things that are going on, I can't even anymore. I've been talking about this stuff for over 10 years. And when I see it now, what else is there to say about the level that things are at? Because joke is not the word anymore. Jump the shark? Well, that was so many sharks ago. We're going to run out of sharks. The world is going to run out of sharks. That's how many sharks have been jumped at this point. Okay? And it just reminded me of, as a massive analogy, the first time I ever went to Washington, D.C. The first time I ever saw it in real life was on a filming trip that became what became the project that morphed several times and became The Minds of Men. It was the first time that we had gone on the road filming, and we drove through D.C. and got footage that we would need. And I had only ever seen Washington, D.C. on the news, on TV, in movies, or they would show like a reporter standing in front of the Washington Monument talking about what's going on with Congress, you know, and they always frame these shots in such a way that everything looks massive and very dramatic. And there's something very almost like shiny and new about that place when they show it on TV. And I don't know how they do that, because when you actually go there yourself and you see it with your own eyes, first of all, the White House, I couldn't get over how small it looked by comparison to the how they make it look on TV. It's small. I was really surprised at that. I don't know if it was my kid brain, because you know how when you're a little kid, everything seems huge. And that's the first time I remember seeing the White House was on TV as a little kid. So maybe that's why I had this idea in my mind that it was a much bigger house than it was somehow. I was surprised at how small it ended up being. And outside of the White House, there's a whole thing about war not being the answer and how all nuclear weapons need to be banned, or we're going to have a nice doomsday. If we live by the bomb, we're going to die by the bomb. And it's set up right across the street from the White House. And of course, you never see that in any of the news broadcasts. I don't know if it's this particular guy who's actually been here, but this vigil, this anti-nuclear war peace vigil, has been sitting here across from the White House since 1981. So for four decades, there's been an anti-nuclear war peace vigil, and someone sits there 24 hours a day warning everyone about how we could all die in a nuclear Armageddon genocide. I mean, it's not the image, right, that's portrayed of that place. It's not what you see when you watch the news or when you see it in films. You don't see this thing, but it's apparently been sitting there for four decades. And someone sits out there with it at all hours of the day. So it is maintained as a continuous protest 24 hours a day directly across from the White House. the whole feeling of that town is something else to behold altogether.
Wow, this is the Treasury Department. What happens here?
Well, this, you know, inside the way that the government works, this is the rubber stamp department, and they get papers from right across the street here. And,
oh,
and from
here?
Other friends.
Here at Bank of America, that's right across the street?
They walk it across the street and then they rubber stamp it.
Oh, okay.
But in case that's too long of a walk, they've got plenty of bank people inside the Treasury already with duplicates just so it's easier to rubber stamp. And whatever they ask, they just do it. And then later they tell the president what they've done because, you know, as Greenspan said, frankly, the relationships don't matter, but I guess they let the president know after it's been rubber stamped.
Oh, good. So, Bank of America.
So they walk over here and say, we need a bailout. And they come over here and they say, sure, rubber stamp, whatever.
Oh,
that's
cool.
How government works.
And then the cops hang out next to the bank.
Well, yeah, they have to protect them.
It was so dark there. And I don't just mean because it was nighttime. Actually, it was really bright for nighttime because there are orange lights everywhere lighting these buildings. And there's so many orange lights everywhere lighting buildings that it was cloudy the night we got there. And they were lighting the clouds in the sky. And it was giving everything this kind of dystopian reddish hue like you would expect to see. And I don't know, like another Terminator sequel about a dystopic nightmare future or something. That's kind of how it felt, right? The sky was like this orangish reddish hue that was making everything kind of have this glow to it. And there were just a constant stream of helicopters driving back and forth in these orangish red clouds. And there's just something about that. Like if Mordor had been off in the distance, right, with the eyeball glowing and stuff, and that was causing that color in the sky, it wouldn't have really been that shocking. That's the setting. This is what I'm talking about. It felt that way, right? And we were walking around and we went down Constitution Avenue? I was going to film a shot of the sign and I noticed that right above, on top of basically the sign is an eye in the sky camera, which... there's something about the clash of that. You know, it's like my friend today said she saw they put a KFC like right next to where the pyramids are. So there's basically a Pizza Hut and a KFC, you know, catty corner to the pyramids or down the street or whatever the hell it is. Like, I always thought the pyramids were out in the middle of sand, like in the middle of nowhere. But apparently they're right next door to a Pizza Hut and a KFC. And there's just something about that that's so cartoonish and ridiculous, right? That's what it's like to me when I see an eye in the sky camera above a sign that says Constitution Avenue. Like, Constitution, yeah, but the government's watching you, you know? And then underneath it, I remember there being just two massive trash cans that were just overflowing with garbage all over the ground. It was just very striking.
We're here on Constitution Avenue, the sign of which is right underneath an eye in the sky camera here across from the Washington Monument. And it's interesting because it's right next to a giant pile of trash. I feel like this is what everybody thinks about the Constitution these days.
The McDonald's generation.
A giant pile of trash.
And when we were there, the Capitol building was under construction, and the whole thing looked like it was about to fall apart. It just looked like a piece of junk. It was surreal. There was something very surreal about it. And on the sidewalk, outside of where the Capitol was, across the lawn from it, somebody had spray-painted a message on the concrete, and it said, "Politics has separated all of us. Government has failed."
We're in D.C. There's your Capitol building. It's under some kind of construction. It looks all screwed up, which is fitting. It's like some kind of double irony. We're standing in one of the most corrupt, ridiculous places in the entire nation. And it really does literally look as if it's falling apart. But right here on the ground, there's some spray-painted words. I don't know if you can make that out at all. Probably not. But somebody at the end of this grassy area here, in front of the Capitol, has spray-painted the words, "Politics has separated all of us. Government has failed." And really, I think that about says it all.
And as I'm standing there seeing this message on the sidewalk, and I'm looking at this ramshackle-looking, falling-apart building, and I'm thinking about all the other things that I just saw, just walking through this town for 15 minutes, there was just something so desperately true about that message. I think it's really weird. Well, it's probably not that weird because it's a Disney movie, obviously, but in the movie National Treasure, I think it's really silly that in that movie, you have Nicolas Cage. There's a part where they're talking about literally stealing the Declaration of Independence. And sorry if that's a spoiler and I'm ruining it for you. But they go in and he has this whole dramatic speech about there's one line here that's more important than all of the others.
There's a line here that's at the heart of all the others.
And it has to do with, you know, replacing government if government fails. Right.
When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security.
And I'm really not so sure that that is the most important message in the Declaration of Independence. I'm not sure I agree with that statement, actually. Because you can't even get to that point of consciously understanding that until you understand other things that were written in there first. At the time that this document was written, people were under the thumb of a hereditary monarch who was using divine right of kings to rule as a measure of government.
The state of monarchy is the supremest thing upon earth. For kings are not only God's lieutenants upon earth and sit upon God's throne, but even by God himself, they are called gods.
And this document outlined what government is. And they didn't just say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, as in can't be taken away or transferred, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It went on to say that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So what's the government supposed to do? Secure those rights. That's the main point here. That is what a government is supposed to be doing, right? But they're not just instituted among men. They don't just spring up out of the ground like a cabbage patch. It's not the divine right of kings. It is governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That, to me, is probably one of the most groundbreaking, important statements that has been put to paper and fought and died over in probably modern human history, period. Right there. Because it says to you, where does the legitimate power come from of the government? Where's the legitimacy happening? Because the government's not giving it to itself. That is not how that works. That's not what the document says. Consent to the governed. That's who grants or withholds legitimacy. The government cannot legitimize itself. That is not how that works. And the king can't just show up and go, I'm king, see this crown on my head? Everyone's kissing my ass. It means I can tell you what to do. Like, that's also not how it works. You're probably hearing the rain in the background. It just really started. So it's really coming down now. Then it goes on to say that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles as blah, 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 blah. That only comes after it is delineated where government derives its power from to begin with. That is the important point. So this message on the sidewalk that says politics has separated all of us, I mean, it's not just divide and conquer in your most basic of senses. What you're talking about is a sense that the people who instituted this document when that was going on, those people came together to do that. That was a uniting situation. People united. At least the ones that it came down to, that was a united front. And as a people united, they said, you are not legitimate anymore, King. And we forget all the time because history is just not taught with very much passion as it should be. In fact, I have a history book over here that's a teacher's edition from the 60s. And it actually says in there that the whole main purpose of teaching history, that like first and foremost, is to, quote, create good citizens. So if that's really the truth, that it's supposed to create good citizens, then take a guess what is and is not going to be in there, right? It's kind of amazing they just admitted it like that. But anyway, it was amazing that people came together and had that idea at the time. It's very hard for us today to put our minds in the mindset of people that lived 250 years ago. It's hard to do. People at that time had always done it that way. So the king was just, that was the way things were done. You don't question the king. You just don't. The idea of questioning the king would not have come into most people's minds as an option to be exercised. The idea of no taxation without representation was not even a thing. That was not a thing. The idea of even saying that should be a thing was confusing to people in the British Parliament when it was brought up. Well, we don't have representation, so we don't consent to your taxation. It was not a thing. They were like, what? What are you even on about? We have no idea what you even mean by saying that, because it wasn't a concept at the time. This was unheard of. These ideas that were being thought of and talked about and then eventually fought over, these were not concepts that people had really in that mass way enough to garner support for people to all stand behind it and say, this is not the way things should be. And we're kind of seeing this again right now, actually, with the corporations and the DEI stuff that's going on right now. I mean, we kind of are seeing the same thing, where legitimacy is a big deal. And where does that come from? Anyway, politics has separated all of us. Government has failed. I mean, the government has failed. It failed. It has not done what it is supposed to do. And that's just the truth. And the motions that everything is going through right now is like watching a WWE match. You can cheer for your favorite wrestler and buy his t-shirt and go there and wave a sign in the air and stuff like that. But do you really believe what you're actually watching isn't really just like a live action male soap opera? Come on. Okay. That is what it feels like now with the things that are happening. It's so incredible and ridiculous. I was just thinking about this today. It was really weighing on me just how much the veil has fallen in terms of they're not even pretending anymore on stuff. And it's not, the pretense is all gone. And people still cannot see. That's what's blowing my mind, I think, probably the most. People still can't see. And that veil is so ripped off. That emperor has no clothes on at all. He is walking up and down the street buck naked. And people still don't notice it. They still can't see it. Maybe they're too afraid to look. Maybe they're too afraid to face the truth about what's happening here. I don't know. It's not funny. It's not funny. I'm not laughing because it's funny. That's a bitter laugh. That's bitter. But I feel like that's what's up. I feel like I had this little kid vision of Washington, D.C., and then I came face to face with the reality of it. It is a much different place. And I think these concepts are going to become very important again in the future. I really do.
But someday, somewhere, someone may find out the damn truth. We better, or we might just as well build ourselves another government. Like the Declaration of Independence says to, when the old one ain't working, just a little farther out west.
People don't talk that way anymore.
Beautiful. Huh. No idea what you said.
I don't know why, I just felt like sharing that with you guys. I love you. I'll talk to you soon.